Egyptian president if he wanted to use the restroom.
Yeah.
He's on a TV.
I thought
that
was funny. Now, you started to just mention that things are different. Things have changed. How do you see the Jewish community now? And from your standpoint and your legal dealings and your observation in terms of what they want for their community. How are they, you know, what are they supporting now? What are they still, how do you think they feel? Obviously, you deal with the actions that are being brought to you based on these civil rights that were accomplished, that were legally passed, that were legally supported and so forth. What do you think, how do you see the Jewish community now supporting it and dealing with civil liberties?
That's a difficult question. I think one of the things, and this may have been true earlier too, I think it gets outside of support for Israel, which goes through all Jewish groups, and seeing, you know, events in terms of you know, the need for support of Israel. I think it's very difficult to talk of, quote, the Jewish community anymore. I think that there's differences on local issues. And, you know, it's very difficult to say. I find it very difficult to just characterize the, you know, the Jewish community generally. Certainly, it's some things that you see happen.
Well, you were referring to conflicts, for instance, on the UJF and the UJF experience, and then you did qualify that by saying, well, obviously, certain individuals go one way and certain another on things like, you know, busing or how their children are affected, how they are affected. But since you mentioned that the financial support that the organizations give, to some extent, do reflect how they think the Jewish community feels.
I know what you're saying.
Because I'm not sure myself. You know, I'm not sure exactly.
All right. Well, it would be.
Are they still supportive?
I wouldn't have quite this role. I'm not with the city. I'm not directly involved with citizens groups. So that it's 6 years now since I've left the city. So that it'd be very difficult to evaluate. And also there are different problems that are facing the community. For example, one of the things that's interested me very much is the building of the Urban Coalition and the role that the Jewish community is taking in an effort to preserve the 14th Ward, which ties in, if you stop and think about it, with certain efforts that the city is making to stop the central city from being lost. However, there's a tremendous concern in the area about crime, and there's a question about it. I would say, and I don't think this is only true of the Jewish community, I think this is true of a community in general, if you start to make a speech today, and you spent all your time talking about preserving the rights of the criminal, you'd lose your audience pretty quickly. And I've been noticing that judges who are campaigning at this particular point, apparently, as they read the wind going, all of them, you know, take this strong stand of closing the jailhouse door, of more repressive measures. I think there's a community reaction, whether it's right or wrong, I can't tell you. Of course, some of the things that happen are as a result of our Constitution, but, you know, that, in fact, I had a rather interesting luncheon with really a friend of mine of long standing who is a successful a member of the Jewish community. It was a man, actually, that I had been confirmed with, and I bumped into him at the colonnade at lunch, and I sat down with my tribe, and how he got into crime, I don't know, but he was for, you know, stringing them all up. Now, he was a nice person, and I'm sure that in his, you know, private life, he's, you know, charitable and kind person. But he is so tired of break-ins, and of course he visualizes most of these people as being black, that you know, he's for the return of the death penalty and getting them out of the community and stringing them up and a few odd other things. And so I finally said to him, well, you know, and so he was blaming the judges for the state of affairs. And I pointed out to him that, you know, the judges operate under the Constitution, that it might be desirable to, you know, go through the community and pick up and detain all those people who have questionable records, and it might stop, conceivably, well, I doubt it, the commission of crimes. But I said, you know, we have a Constitution. He says, well, we have to change it. I mean, and so, but I don't think this man was someone unique. I think he represents a whole group of people who are fed up with certain changes that have occurred. Now, whether they're blaming the right or the wrong things, you know, is something that you can debate. Now, this has affected the Jewish community as well as the other. Now, certain liberalism has been dissipated, really, because certain things that have happened have made life inconvenient, have made life unpleasant, have posed certain threatening roles. And to this degree, I don't think the Jewish community is different than the other community. Remember that answer to your question?
That's fine. Very helpful. That hits it. That's the kind of thing that I was trying to ask your opinion on, because of your exposure over the years to seeing the change, and that's helpful.
Of course, another factor would be, too, you know, the prosperity of the Jewish community. And if you've, you know, done, you know, any reading in political psychology, the Jews never voted in accordance with their economic status. Remember those reports by Laserfield and some of the others? They were done.
Because the more prosperous you are, the more conservative you are.
Conservative you are. And there was always this gap in Jewish voting behavior between their economic status and the way the candidates that they supported. Now, there still is this gap. But I think that there tend to be more within this prosperous group who tend to act politically in all areas except Israel, and in response to the particular economic or professional group within which they fall. In other words, right, Jewish doctors might be more likely to take the AMA position on issues than they would the International Lady Garment Workers position, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about Israel?
Well, we were there. It was a very exciting experience. I think everybody has it. In 1970.
Before the war.
No, after 69.
Yeah. It had expanded.
It was after the 67 war, so there was already the
larger.
Right.
How would you feel after hearing the news this morning that Mrs. Rabin has been fined $25,000 for a crime that she didn't really feel was that serious, apparently, and she's not going to be sent to jail?
Well, I can answer you
it's a woman in terms
of my own standard. And this, if you elect to seek public office. And it doesn't seem to me to be, you know, whether it's dog catcher or prime minister of the government. You, in effect, promise an impeccable standard of behavior. You can't have the lapses that other people have. That's one of the things that you work out in deciding to go into public office. And I think that if you don't, then various and sundry things can happen. Unfortunate, but I had this feeling. You mentioned Mrs. Levine. I often think of A. Fortas. He is so bright and so competent, and in terms of the short time that he was on the porch, you know, he really wrote some very important decisions with a great deal of compassion. You know, one of his cases is the Goss case, which established the right of juveniles. You know, up until then, juveniles had no rights. And this case of his, which was out of Arizona, held that before a juvenile could be committed, he had to have a right to a hearing and counsel and due process in the same way as any other member of the society. And you know, this is really a very marvelous person.
What was the name of that case?
Gauss, G-A-U-S-S. But he failed to maintain certain standards of personal behavior, which was unfortunate.
Mr. Kerner also.
We'd like not to have to meet again. I think that we should see here now whether we've covered everything that you feel you'd like to contribute. And, I mean, we've covered some, but there's so much that we could say and that you could say. You haven't talked too much about your role in the last 6 years being a judge. I don't know if there's something special you'd like to say about that. And then I guess we'd like to tie it together by any kind of observations you also might like to make in terms of to turn it off. I feel so inarticulate right now trying to sum this up. This is where I'm trying to direct you. We wanted to still get a summation of your professional life, and then there were still little points that we weren't able to fill in terms of your feelings in relationship to the Jewish community personally, not politically, and your social life. These are all different other things that we still wanted to cover. Do you think we should try to meet another time, or still do you want to still talk now?
Well, I think a couple of things I could summarize rather quickly.
Okay.
And that is, one, you know, our relationship to the Jewish community. And of course, both Howard and I are natives here. We both have, identifications with the Jewish community. Now, on the other hand, we're not... movers and doers in the organized Jewish community. I mean, we serve on boards, but we're not one of. I mean, there's certain people who are really where the Jewish community, I guess, would be their first interest. I think we make contributions to the Jewish community, but I think we also have other.
You're not that visible in the Jewish community.
Well, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, I was trying to think, we're willing to give time to the Jewish community.
A lot of things you're about with deal with community generally and people generally and in effect of fact the Jewish community too.
Yeah. Or as I said, I guess over I keep holding some office or another, on the various, Jewish boards.
Personally
I've been on Jewish children and family
services.
service, and I've been on the Jewish Community Relations Council, and I'm now on the Federation of Political Work. But, you know, I'm not a big wheel.
How about with your children? How important is it to you that they maintain a Jewish lifestyle or a feeling for Judaism or relationships with Jewish people? Is that important to you?
Yes, I would put it a little differently. I would say I want them to maintain their Jewish identification. Now, I don't know whether that goes under the heading a Jewish lifestyle, because I'm not exactly really sure what that would mean, different things to different people. I think one reason that I would want them to maintain a Jewish identification, and this is kind of a reverse thing, I have always felt that one's Jewish identification has made one's life richer. Not necessarily from the ritual and religious service and that sort of thing, of which, having gone through the reform system, I'm really not too conversant with all the prayer and ritual. But there is a certain kind of thinking or philosophy, and it's very difficult to generalize what it is, and I can't put down what it is, but it is part of one's Jewishness, and you communicate with other Jews, and this makes no difference where you are. It gives you another in-group that you belong to, even though that group may be discriminated against by others. You have this in-group affiliation. I can just call, going into communities that were new to us, and you go to the local temple, or you meet the somebody in the local Jewish community, and you get a feeling of being at home. This community recreates itself. You can see your own community. So I really feel that your life has a certain richness about it, and this is one of the things that I think I would hate to see my children lose, those who... And so I would want them to retain that identification. I don't know that the formal religious ritual has all that much meaning to us.
Religious thing, but that's the cultural, perhaps, that cultural feeling. It's one thing that a lot of people are trying to come to terms with. Have any of your children become more involved in the ritual or
than we were?
For instance, my husband's family, his older brother, lives in Jerusalem and is extremely religious, while the rest of us aren't.
But they have an identification which is, I think, quite strong, and I can't like when Passover comes around, if they don't come home, they find that I hear from them, we had Passover with somebody or other. In other words, they're aware when these things come. They have a tremendous interest in Jewish folklore, which happens to be my own. And in fact, I don't know if I told you this, it's really very exciting. Howard and I tracked down this Hasidic dance group, which we enjoyed very much. And we have found that we've gotten more and more interested in, just the history and experiences and cultural activities that have gone on. And the children, share this. Uh-huh. Ben, for a term paper that he did at school, elected to do study of the Hasidic sect and stayed with the rabbi up in Boston who was running a school for a week in which he had been with school, high school then actually, and he was just fascinated to see, or he wanted to study this to get a better understanding of it.
You want to wrap up?
Yeah, I was just going to say, are there any others, since you brought in the Hasidic dance, this is the last thing that we had touched upon last time, but hadn't totally had you conclude. The social activities you have outside of the professional, which you've touched upon in your family, what social activities do you enjoy? And give your, what little time is left to? I know you mentioned hiking and dancing.
Yeah. Well, we live a simple life, which gets simpler as we've gotten older. And I guess we tend to move away from the big party and the big function, which is maybe one reason why we're not more visible in the organized Jewish community. I don't know, this is just a function of getting older. You know, you find yourself, if you reach a certain point, you begin to distinguish somehow in your own mind those things that are important to you and those things that aren't. And those things that give you pleasure and those things that don't. And we found, you know, that such things as camping, you know, is what you want to do for a weekend. And we never have been, you know, big social people with a capital S. And as we get older, our interest in organized social events gets smaller and smaller. And I don't know that the only other thing that I find myself thinking is kind of retaining, and as you get older, I think this becomes important, you know, kind of retaining a sense of balance about oneself. You know, not really going around feeling, you know, how important I am, but, you know, really seeing yourself in focus.
That's an important point, how you see yourself in focus.
And we tend to be moving more and more back to really sort of activities that we engaged in as young people, as I said, like the hiking and the being outside. I don't know, kind of the activities that we, you know, how kids like to, you know, there's camping.
You made your contribution and your accomplishments in terms of work, and that's been a tremendous part of your life, but, you know, now that you've reached that, you've made your name, do you think that that's helped you be able to enjoy your personal life in a simpler fashion?
No, I think part of it is when you reach a certain point, You really decide that you want to do those things that you want to do. You know, there suddenly reaches a day at which you decide, you know, if I do not do these kinds of things, there's going to be no time left to do them. And I really think there are not too many advantages to getting old, but one of the advantages to you know, getting in your later middle age is that it is possible to distinguish those things that have meaning to you and those that you are doing because everybody is doing. And I think I would have that feeling regardless of what I had spent my life doing. I think this is a phenomenon of reaching certain stages in one's life. And I think that a lot of the things one does, you know, just like kids follow their peer group, adults do too. And there suddenly comes a point, I think this happens to most people, in which you decide, okay, now this is what I really want to do, or this is it.
You plan to continue remaining a judge?
Well, I have, oh yeah, I have 4 years on my present term. It's a 10-year term. And then you can serve as a judge until you're 70. So I expect, I keep on moving.
Still have many more years.
Yeah. You asked me what being a judge is like, and that gets very difficult. You know, it's based to answer because it's like being a lawyer, but it's different. And I might have mentioned to you, because I spent a while really analyzing certain changes that happen to you, even when you go on a trial court as opposed to an appellate court. And that is, of course, the buck stops with you. You know, that's the old Harry Truman one. But,
right.
You know, a lawyer says, okay, the judge is going to decide, and, you know, you'll argue or you'll do this, and the lawyer is, of course, an advocate and a mover. And when it gets to you, you have to make the decision, even though it may be appealed up. You have to make the decision that it's a right decision or wrong decision. It's a decision-making job, and it uses different kinds of skills, really. Sometimes, you know, really realize, you know, certain powers that you have in terms of, you know, if you sit on a custody case, for example. I haven't sat on too many of them because I'm not in family court, but I have taken on a couple of them. You sit there and you think, you know, it's all over. You know, I'm the one who's going to decide, you know, who this child is going to live with. You sit over in criminal court, you're the one who decides, you know, whether the person gets sent up or they can stay in the community. And of course, in civil cases, I mean, you know, you get into all these strikes and you know, other activities in which you are going to be the one who's going to have to decide which way the thing goes, so that you carry this sense of responsibility with you. And it's also quite lonely, because as opposed to an appellate court, you know, there are 6 or 7 judges sitting together, and it's a joint decision. The trial judge is acting by him or herself. You listen to the evidence and you decide. And you frequently have to decide pretty quickly. You know, you can't have some sort of crisis situation and you can't say, okay, I'll take, you know, 2-3 weeks to think it over, and so forth. You know, you're called upon to marshal your thoughts and to make a resolution of whatever it is. So it's kind of different kinds of skills.
Do you enjoy this decision making?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Because I've enjoyed law generally,
right.
And I think challenging. You're constantly working with everything that you have, which think is important for making my feel satisfied.
It's a good point to conclude, I think, with being a judge.
Okay.
It's a high point.
You have listed as Judge Marion Finkelhor in this interview. And is there anything else that you want to add on to that about being a judge? Or do you feel that you've stated your basic feeling?
Yeah, I think so, without going into specific cases.
That's a high point. That's really very deep, and it's really very philosophical. It's a point to think about, and it brings in women and the way they approach what they're doing today and philosophy. It kind of all sums it up. You either want that kind of a role or you don't, and you're either you're successful or you're not.
That's a like great still thing of asking you.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's a good place to stop. Okay, if you wanted to have another session at any time, we could do it. If you want to, it doesn't have to be
right. I think really, from the standpoint of what you're trying to accomplish, I would suspect that, and in fact, I think some of the things I'm going to say, I think are going to be duplicated when you talk around. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe that some things people say are characteristic of time in which
yes.
they live, their age of which
yes.
they are. You know, people aren't all that different from each other.
Mm-hmm. It's really trying to get it on record mm-hmm. more. And exactly what you're saying is exactly what's happening.
If,
but it's to get it on record.
Yeah, they're still working.